Hi, everybody. It's great to be here with you. We are doing something very, very special today. For those of you who are here live, you are so lucky because we have two amazing astrologers here who are astrologers that are featured on our Astrologer Connect platform, and they are going to be answering your questions live. So if you have any questions about timing, like when should I launch this project? When should I move? When should I initiate this conversation with my boss or my partner or my child? Whatever, any sort of timing questions. Or if you have questions about like questions that are yes or no. So things like, will I get this job? Does he love me? Is this the right job for me? You know, any sort of questions that might have a yes or no answer, and or questions about timing, you can ask them in the chat. We are going to be answering questions here live today because we want to give you an experience of the type of things that astrology can help you navigate in your life. So we wanted to do this live, give you a real life example of what it's like to ask an astrologer a question and see the type of responses or answers that they can give to you. This is the beginning of our reading bonanza month. So at Astrologer Connect, our new reading platform, all through this month, if you book a reading, you can book for 20% off, or you can get 10 minutes free on an instant reading, which we're going to talk about a little bit more here in a second. But for now, send in your questions, and Joe G and Ella D are here to answer your questions. And I want to tell you a little bit about them because they are amazing. So Joe is certified in Hellenistic and Electional Astrology. He's been trained by Gemini Brett, Chris Brennan, and Patrick Watson. He blends ceremonial magic, traditional astrology, sonic and visual arts in his practice. He offers creative methods for understanding personal timing. He is the podcast producer and electional astrologer at Astrology Hub. I do not do anything at Astrology Hub without consulting Joe in terms of timing. Hey, like even the timing of our reading bonanza for Astrologer Connect. Of course, Joe weighed in on that. He weighs in on all the things that we do in terms of what the astrology is saying is the right time to launch different things that we do. Elodie is a French-Canadian astrologer residing in Newfoundland. She writes horoscopes for Astrograph and The Mountain Astrologer. Her practice focuses research, divination, teaching, archaeoastronomy, and healing modalities. All right. So thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you
for having us.
All right. And I love to see the questions coming in already. Okay. Susan Smalley is asking, will my book be published? And Joe or Elodie, who wants to take this question?
I can take it.
All right. Will Susan's book be published?
And did we get a rising sign? Aquarius rising.
Me too,
cool.
Susan.
Oh, nice. So usually when we cast a horary, the first thing that we look to is the ascendant and the moon and what they're doing. And I like to always add, especially in a time like this, when we're answering a lot of questions, I always like to add the layer of the ascendant and in what house is that ascendant appearing in this chart. In this instance, the ascendant's actually in the sixth house. And the sixth house, as we all know, it's about hard work and it's about putting in the work. It's the place where Mars rejoices, and Mars is that planet of the drive to like really push to get things done. So I even wonder if like this question is coming from that place of like, I've been pushing so hard to get this book published. Like, is it really going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Like, what is the deal? And the next layer that I add to that is, of course, looking at the moon and what it's doing. This one is actually super exciting because we have the moon applying to a sextile to Saturn, which is the ruler of Susan's ascendant. So in this chart, the moon is representing the 11th house, which is the house of hopes, dreams, and all those things. So to see a sextile applying to the ruler of her ascendant is really exciting. It's like, yes, the possibility is there and we can make things happen. I also like to see that the moon is really right there with the lot of victory, and the lot of victory is also ruled by Saturn, which is the ruler of her ascendant. So to me, this sounds like a yes. Like, yes, we can get this done if we push through a little bit. The one thing that I would pay attention to is that because the rising right now is Virgo, we're really looking into Mercury and the story that Mercury's trying to tell. And Mercury right now is just about to get ready for a retrograde. And this is a rather long retrograde too, because Mercury is in Taurus and it's not going to leave all the way till June. So will the book get published? I think so. But with the retrograde, there might be some delays and some back and forth. And especially as this retrograde will also have Mercury and Uranus hanging out together, it can be that the setback or the thing that causes this retrograde-y sort of moment to come is something unexpected. It's something that comes out of nowhere and that we kind of have to deal with it. So that's how I'd answer that one. I don't know if Melody has any thoughts.
Yeah, no. I like the part of Fortune in the ninth house, which is the publishing house. It bodes well, and we see Venus just enter the ninth house also. Venus is applying to square with Saturn, which represents the querent, the person asking the question. So I think, like you said, your intuition is right. It looks like it's possible, but it's going to require a lot of hard work.
Okay, fantastic. I hope that helps, Susan. Very cool.
I see a good question here that's easy to answer because it doesn't require a chart. It's when is the ideal introduction or launch date for business website? So this is a broad, you know, electional question. We don't need to cast a chart. We just have to think, okay, this year, what's happening? So obviously, we're moving into a Mercury retrograde right now. It's going to begin on the 21st. So between the 21st, I would say even, you know, before the 20th or after May 15th, this, we're moving into like a crunchy time. June would be a really ideal time because Venus will be in Cancer. After that, Venus prepares to move retrograde. So the thing with timing in electional astrology is there's never an ideal time. You really have to find these little windows. And this year, June is probably the go-to, I would say, because by mid-July, we have Venus stationing retrograde until the beginning of September. So June would be a good time. Otherwise, it would be later this year for launching a business.
Okay. Would you say the same answer? Julie Woolley is asking, when is a good time to move house? Would you have the same answer for that or would it be different?
Well, moving houses is not as... moving houses can even be a retrograde thing. It could even happen during a retrograde thing because you're like, we're moving into Mercury retrograde now in Taurus, which has a lot to do with planning and organizing and structuring. Taurus likes to root down, ground, prepare, plan. So I see this upcoming Mercury retrograde as an excellent time to be planning, maybe not necessarily moving, but planning the move. It's not like a business question because when you're moving, you're actually packing and organizing. And it's a lot of logistical stuff, which Mercury in Taurus is really good at. And Mercury's, although it's going to be retrograde, still really good time for organizational matter. Also, if you are born with Mercury retrograde in your birth chart, Mercury retrograde does not apply for you in the same ways. I've seen a lot of people born with Mercury retrograde actually thriving during Mercury retrograde period.
Okay. This is something that we're doing in celebration of our grand opening of our new reading platform, Astrologer Connect. Throughout the entire month of April, you can get 20% off a booked reading with any of our astrologers on Astrologer Connect, or you can get 10 minutes free, your first 10 minutes free of an instant reading. And instant readings are when you go on, you see someone with a green light on our page, and you can call them up right in the moment and get an instant reading with them. To access the 20% discount and the 10% off, you just use the discount code APRIL20. So it's APRIL20 when you check out at astrologyhub.com/connect. astrologyhub.com/connect. Use the discount code APRIL20. Okay. Tressa is asking, when is the best day to get married, this or next year? rising Leo.
Ooh. Hmm. Do you want to take that one, Elodie? Or
well, yeah, I wouldn't cast a chart for getting... So when you're getting married, you want to look at Venus, really. Venus, as an electional astrologer, the first thing we do is look at Venus. We want a good Venus. So this year would be, you know, like I said, Venus will be retrograde this year. Venus is not retrograde every year. So maybe it would be better next year for getting married. Although there's a Venus in Cancer late May, beginning of June is really good for wedding election. Otherwise, you know, we're going to get Venus in Libra later this year, but there's going to be eclipses in Libra, so it's not super ideal. So I would say between this year or next year, choosing would maybe next year would be better. Other if you can prepare a wedding in a month from now, then
from now or next year.
Yeah, then the beginning of June is good this year.
Okay, that'll be really interesting to see what she decides to do on that. Joji, do you want to add anything to that, or are you in agreement?
Yeah, I'm in agreement for the most part, but there is a little bit of a window on that Venus retrograde that does interest me a little bit, depending on where this person's Venus is. Just because, just as Venus is stationing direct, Venus will square Jupiter, and that's like a really good aspect to have in a natal chart or in the chart for anything, just because usually people think of squares as tension, but I'd rather think of them as just like this powerful force that's interacting, that's happening between two planets. So for Jupiter to be overpowering Venus in that sense, like the planet of good fortune and expansion, and just as Venus is finishing that retrograde, that might, depending on where your Venus is, that might be one of that, a window that you want to explore. And that would be, first week of September.
Yeah. Okay, so we have next month, first week of September, or next year. Right. Perfect. Okay, that's a lot of options. That's great. Okay, so
And she has Venus in Aries. I see. That's perfect. It's a Venus trine her natal Venus. So that's a good time.
Perfect. Okay, so Brenda is answering the question. She's a Scorpio rising. The question is, when is the right time to buy a new home?
For Scorpio rising.
Yes.
I'm a Scorpio rising myself. And so what's happening for Scorpio rising in general is Pluto has just entered our fourth house, and the fourth house relates to home. So a lot of changes, but Pluto will be there for 20 years. So, and there has been Saturn there in the last 2 years. So home roots has been a big theme and will continue to be a lot of changes. I would say that, so this year I'm on the East Coast of the U.S. in rising sign Scorpio. It's such an important point of focus for Scorpio rising this year. I would say like anytime this year or in the following years, it will be a major point of focus. Let me think. I mean, same thing, not purchasing during Mercury retrograde. Otherwise, this year is pretty good.
Mm. Yeah. And not purchasing during, sorry, Joe, I'll let you go next, but not purchasing during Mercury retrograde is only if you don't have Mercury retrograde in your chart.
But
if
in general, Mercury retrograde tends to go better for people who have Mercury retrograde in their charts. But for something like buying a house, I would put all my chance on my side and I would just make sure all the planets are direct. Because when you buy a house, you have a chart for that moment. It becomes sort of like the birth chart of your house. Mm-hmm. And you want the birth chart of your house to be in good condition. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea behind electional astrology, is basically you're creating a birth chart for the moment you're doing that thing, and you want that birth chart to be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of buying a new home, like I said, because it's such an important point of focus for Scorpio, and it has been, I would say anytime really, you know.
Mm-hmm. Joe, do you want to add anything about that, the buying a house?
Yeah. And we said she was a Scorpio rising, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The cool thing about that is that now that Saturn has entered Pisces, which is the ruler of the fourth house of a Scorpio chart, we will actually get Jupiter, which represents your money, like the money of a person who with Scorpio rising, soon sextile that Saturn. So it's like your money is in a good aspect to the house. And that's happening, I think, mid-June, like the first, I think the 13th of June is when we officially get that first sextile. So maybe that might be a window worth exploring if you're trying to get a little bit more specific.
Perfect. Okay. Lots of house questions today.
Yeah.
He has a yes, no question. Leo rising. Is this the right house for my family?
Ooh.
Yes, no, Leo rising.
Joey, so we require a horary for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fun thing is that just as we got this question, the rising sign did change over here on my end. For Leo rising, this is interesting because now we have your third house rising. And of course, with the Leo rising, we also have that the sun, the ruler of your ascendant, having that Kazemia with Jupiter right now. So to me, that seems a little bit confusing. I'm not 100% sure how to answer this one, just because the ascendant is also so early. And one thing in horaries, whenever we see an ascendant, especially at 0 degrees, is that it's too soon for us to really have like a good answer, or it's too soon for us to even ask that question. Because sometimes there's things that need to happen before we can really understand the full picture of the story that's unfolding. So maybe it could be that since the third house is the one that's rising, maybe it could be that move just happened recently and we haven't had that time to settle into that new routine. Because for me, the third house is all about routines and your immediate environment. So, and especially with the early rising, that maybe we just need to get acclimated a little bit before we're really able to make that decision. Because I think especially with a question like this, it's more about you and how you feel in the space that you are, and less about the astrology. Because sometimes if you can just tap into how you feel in that environment, the answer will come to you. But with that said, the Jupiter Kazemi for a Leo rising seems like an exciting time.
Just in general. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so we have one from Pamela. Please, will I find work soon? Virgo rising.
Do you want me to take that one?
Yeah, I can take that one, but I won't be able to share my screen, I don't think. I don't know.
Tressa says week of September is perfect. Tressa asking when to get married. That's great.
Oh, no way. That's awesome. She has to let us know how the wedding goes.
Yes, exactly.
Pictures. So, will I find work soon?
Virgo rising.
Very soon. Let me see now. Will I find work soon? So the person asking the question is Venus. It looks like there is financial situation where you may be relying on somebody right now, or you have to rely on somebody or something like that. I do like that Venus has just switched signs, so that's promising, but it looks almost like having to learn a new skill to get a job. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like possibly, but you may have to learn a new skill first. That's what I would say.
Pamela, does that resonate? Like, is there something that you've been thinking you might want to learn?
Like going back to school or learning something in order to move forward.
Joji, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. And sometimes too with like, because I have Venus in Gemini too. That's my natal placement. And I think that whenever I see Venus in Gemini or any planet in Gemini, it's really about like multiple things. So maybe it's either learning new things, like many things, or it's taking what you know and then learning this new thing and implementing whatever new thing that you learned with the whole body of knowledge that you have. And then things can start to move forward, especially with Mars being so high too.
Yeah.
I feel like there is a little bit of a push that needs to happen and courage.
The ninth house, which is, you know, it's the house of education, and the third house is also skills. And this angle here, the nine and the third, where the moon is, it has a lot to do with what we know and how we apply the knowledge that we know. So it looks like there's something about education, whether like teaching or communicating your skills already or learning something new, something like that, that needs to be, that would help.
So this is great. So Pamela says, I just started studying animal communication.
No way.
Yeah. I'd work as a marketing content writer to keep the boat afloat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And animal communication, I would put that in the sixth house, and I would say Jupiter rules it. Yeah, it's almost like there's like a silver lining in this process, but it's almost like, it's not necessarily lucrative right away with this, but there's this whole process of learning a new skill right now.
Okay. All right. I want to ask a more general question. This is from Tanisa. I am Taurus ascendant. What should my focus be this year?
Taurus ascendant is all about you right now. It has been. That's what I say to Taurus, because the eclipses have been taking place in Taurus and Scorpio. So when you're Taurus rising your first house, it has a lot to do with, well, the relational and maybe where you've been compromising too much versus where you need to focus more on yourself. So that's been a big theme. And I think with planets right now in Aries, with Jupiter in Aries, understanding how you perhaps keep things like the Aries 12th house for Taurus is a lot like having like a bull in the closet. And so when you're angry, when you're pissed off, like instead of trying to like forget about it, so it's more about like processing than being clear about your boundaries and assuming your needs and desire in a way instead of just like pushing them down. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't affect the health and stress.
Mm.
There's something about the body with Taurus this year, and the more you follow what you need, the better your body will be.
Oh wow. My love is a Taurus rising, and that it's just like resonating so, so deeply. Okay, Renee Roberts, will I ever have a romantic relationship? Virgo rising.
Well, the chart's still pretty similar, and you said it was Virgo rising, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we still have like the second house of a Virgo rising chart rising. So I wonder if like money and even, not even money actually, because one of the significations sometimes that I tend to overlook with the second house is that sense of self-worth and like what you can actually, how you feel worthy of relationships. So to have that rising, I feel, and especially still early degrees of Libra, because right here I have only 2 degrees of Libra rising. It's again that same sort of situation, especially with Venus, which is the ruler of the ascendant, just entering Gemini. It's a lot of newness. There's a lot of new things and everything's still fresh. So I wonder even if the question is coming from a place of like, I just now have made that decision that I will look for a partner or that I'm ready. But with the second house and that sense of self-worth, maybe there's certain things that we need to unpack there to get to that place where things do feel very nice and supportive, and you feel ready to invite those people in. Because it's one thing to feel ready for them to come, but it's another thing to feel ready to invite them in. Because when you're inviting somebody in, it's a much more like, I know that I'm worthy, and I know that like no matter what, they'll show up, they'll be here. And it's a different thing to be like, yes, I'm ready for this, but be only like halfway there. Like you still don't know if like this is really a thing. So for me, the answer to this would be really to check in with yourself and how worthy do you feel to get this relationship. And once you really step into that place where you do feel worthy, you won't even need to ask the question because you're already inviting those people in. So that's what I would say.
Renee, is that resonating? Awesome. Okay. Lolly is asking, should I apply for a postdoctoral position? Capricorn rising.
Oh, so we have that moon still in the third house in the Hori chart. So should I apply? I would say yes. I would say yes, just because of if we still have the same Hori and we were seeing that angle, the skill I was pointing earlier on. We have the same Hori basically because a horary chart is cast for the moment we ask the question, because all these questions are coming at the same time, we have the same, basically the same chart for any questions are being asked right now. And we saw in the question about, I can't remember her name, sorry, but will I find a job? We saw that there was something about skills and learning. So now applying for a postdoctoral position also has to do with learning. So I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
OG, anything to add on that?
Yeah, I don't think there's much to add. I just find it interesting that now that we're asking about like an occupation, it's a Capricorn rising and Libra would be your 10th house rising as mm-hmm. we're answering this question. So mm-hmm. like topics of career and like that sense of newness and like fresh things just kind of starting to develop are really in your career world. So it seems like things are moving toward that direction and all there is to do is just allow it to kind of unfold, because again, it's still that early rising. I don't know for Elodie if it's the early rising, but
it's later here.
Oh, it's later. But yeah. Venus has just entered Gemini. Mm-hmm. So we'll go with that.
Totally. Yeah.
Yes. Renee said right on. So Renee, who asked about finding romantic relationships, said right on. So it sounds like that was resonating, and also said that she's dealing with more financial issues and no time for romanticizing, which is kind of.
Oh, there we go.
The other thing I was going to say for Virgo rising, which is huge, is that Saturn Pisces has just entered their house of relationship for 2 years. So it's going to bring a lot more clarity in terms of what you want for a relationship. And Saturn in the seventh house of partnership, Saturn Pisces for 2 years, this is a important transit for Virgo rising.
Wow. You all have great questions. Thank you for sending in all these questions. This is super fun. Okay, Thelma is another Scorpio rising. Welcome, all you Scorpio risings. You seem to be attracted to this today. I need a new job. When will it happen? Will it happen? This is from Thelma.
Cool. Huh. The first thing that I think about whenever I think about career for Scorpio risings, especially this year, is that Venus retrograde that will be happening in your 10th house. So I would really look toward that summer window for new things to come into the workplace. But for you, especially, Venus would represent like others and companions and partners and things like that. So for them to come to that place and to spend an extended amount of time in the place of your career in your chart might be that time that Venus retrograde is really about working one-on-one with somebody through like an extended amount of time to really start figuring out the pieces of what you really need and how you can make it happen, especially as Jupiter will also be transiting through that your seventh house as Venus is there. It's likely somebody who is in a bit in that teacher role that can provide some of those insights that you need. And even going back to something that we talked about earlier in that question about the wedding with Jupiter overcoming Venus later in the year in the first weeks of September, it's really that sort of like big push. It's like that teacher, that gentle, jovial teacher, bringing in the insights and the news and the things that you need to learn just at the right time, just as you're about, especially with the Venus retrograde, just as you're about to start to move forward, that like last bit of insight appears. And that's all in September, first week of September.
The other thing too with Scorpio rising is ask for help. Like, turn to other people. Don't try to do it all alone and keep your cards too close, because branching out, reaching out to other, because somebody might actually have an opportunity for you. And just there's a tendency with Scorpio rising to really want to keep the cards very close. But there's something this year about really branching out to others, accepting the support that others are presenting to you, accepting the opportunities, being more receptive. Very challenging for Scorpio rising at times.
Okay. This is amazing. You two are so cool. I just love hearing your responses. I hope this is helpful. Okay. Let's see. Arlene wants to know, will my love interest make a decision about us? This is Aries rising. Arlene has an Aries rising.
Hmm.
Joe, do you want to be the one taking that one?
I'll give it to Elodie.
Because he knows the answer. Well, just generally this year, because we're going to start having eclipses in Aries and Libra, but it's going to bring a big focus on Aries. If you're Aries rising, which it means the South Node is going to be in Libra. So it's a lot more about bringing attention to you. And the South Node transiting in Libra for Aries rising is not necessarily problematic, but it does change the condition of your relationships. It can bring changes. And these eclipses in Aries and Libra will take place for a year and a half. So it's all about the give and take in relationship and the relational aspects and how much you're willing to compromise and all of that. So there's a lot of that coming down the pipeline for Aries rising.
So what can Arlene keep in mind as she's kind of entering into this period of time?
Well, if I'm judging the horary chart, you know, I have Libra rising and Mars in Aries in the seventh house right now. So for the horary, Mars is in Cancer, not in a really good condition, but he has a lot of power. I don't want to say it, but I would say, you know, I don't know if he will make a decision. Honestly, it doesn't look super positive. I want to say yes, but, you know, knowing that you're in Aries rising with a Libra seventh house and looking at the horary right now, I would say, what's the expression in English? Like, don't hold on too tight on that.
Mm. Yeah. Don't hold on too tight for a decision being made, or don't hold on too tight to the love interest?
To the love interest, to a decision being made might not be an ideal situation. Mm. That's what my intuition would say, even though I would love to say, yes, he's coming on the horse for you.
I do have a bit of insight, because I remember the last time I had eclipses in my first and seventh house and how it was for me. And I've been with my partner for seven, almost 8 years now. And of course, the eclipse didn't break us up. But the thing that did happen throughout that year is that, well, for me, it was the pandemic, like Cancer and Capricorn eclipse axis was very difficult for us because we're long distance, and then now we can't travel that much. So it was really about me having to spend a lot more time with myself. So in the case that it's not the worst case scenario, sometimes it might just be that you need a little bit of that
adjustment.
Distance.
Adjustment. Yeah, no, it's very true. It doesn't mean, it's not necessarily like, oh, this person is not interested, or, but you know, if there's a love interest, the chances are that the situation will continue, the novel that you're writing with this person will continue and evolve over the course of the next year because of the eclipse happening in your relational house. Mm. So there's a scenario there.
Mm. Okay, lots of love questions as usual. We know that love is pretty, would you two say as astrologers that the number one question that you get is about relationships? Or is there anything else that like ranks as high?
Yeah,
I don't, because I say I don't like answering those questions.
If we have a relationship question, Joji isn't the one to select on our new movie. Definitely not his forte.
I love relationship questions.
Like. And Elodie loves them. Elodie's all. Only astrologer on our platform right now who speaks French. So if you, by chance, want your reading in French, Elodie would be the one to choose for that as well. Okay, Sarah is a Libra rising, and Sarah wants to know, will I find love in 2023?
Well, like I was saying, the eclipses, Libra Aries, happening on the relational axis for both Aries rising and Libra rising. For Libra rising, it's really augmenting the seventh house of partnership, which is in Aries. Jupiter is there right now. The sun is there right now. So my guess is that you're thinking about relationship. I would say with the North Node transiting there for the next year, there's high chances. You have to put yourself out there, obviously, but I would say yes.
Yeah, because it would be the reversal of the person that we just answered the question for, because the other person was Aries rising. So now we have Libra rising, which is the opposite. So if the story of the previous person was all about distance and really spending a lot of time with yourself and by yourself, in this case, it's really about closeness and spending time with others and doing things for others. So,
okay. Yeah. So Libra rising, it's looking good. Yeah. Because there was a couple of questions of Libra rising, people wondering if they're going to find love.
Yeah, it's looking good, but it has a lot to do with letting go of some of the ways in which you keep people at a distance. Or, you know, because the eclipse are also happening in Libra, there might be adjustment needed on your part to make space for the relationships come through, because they're happening on that angle. But it's all relational. It's all give and take. And there's a lot of adjustment that's going to happen in Libra and Aries in the next year.
Hmm. Okay. Hassi is asking, would a craft business be profitable for me? Aries rising.
Ooh, a craft business.
I love that. Awesome. For those of you who are just joining, we're only going to take a few more questions, but we are going to be doing these live readings throughout the rest of the month. In general, on Wednesdays. But if you do see something pop up from us on YouTube or Facebook, make sure you're following us on YouTube. You've subscribed to the channel and you've hit the notification bell, because we will be doing these live readings all throughout the month and giving you a chance to see what kinds of questions astrologers can answer and the types of answers that you will get when you ask these types of questions. So, astrologers cover all areas of life. There are certain astrologers that like to focus on specific areas of life. One of the things that Elodie and Joji are really good at are these timing questions. And also these very specific questions. Joji loves to answer these yes, no questions and give you a really definitive answer. So if you have these kinds of questions and you're wondering about them, make sure after this is over that you check out astrologyhub.com/connect and book your reading this month with our 20% discount, which we are offering this month as a part of the celebration of our grand opening of our Astrologer Connect reading platform. So Joji and Elodie are two of 15 amazing astrologers that we have featured on the platform right now. And this is, we don't know if we'll ever be doing a discount this steep, but this is our grand opening month. So we're going for it, and you can take advantage of that all month. And you only have to book your reading this month, but you can have the reading anytime. But just secure your reading this month and you'll get to take advantage of the 20% discount. Use discount code APRIL20 when you book your reading. Okay, so let's go to that question. Is it a good time for a craft business? Will it be profitable?
So first thing I want to say about that is that if you're Aries rising, you're about to have Jupiter, the planet of luck and abundance, in your second house in Taurus for a whole year. The second house has a lot to do with your resources, your financial autonomy. So it's boding well for, you know, starting a business. I would say if craft would fall in the fifth house, so that's Leo for Aries rising. We have a Venus retrograde in Leo coming up July 22nd to the first week of September. So that period of time could be assessing your business or whatever you want to do, or starting it before that. It looks like it's a really good time to be a business person in general with Jupiter coming for your second house. I would just pay attention to mid-July to beginning of September in terms of just not launching yourself officially, or, you know, maybe preparing your things, but it does bode well.
Okay, so you're saying prepare the business in that July to September time period and maybe launch after September?
Yeah, I would launch after or before, maybe in June, like okay. summer solstice, you know, before the Venus retrograde.
Okay.
But Jupiter is going to be in Taurus all of 2024, and that's second house for Aries rising. So, you know, financial autonomy, and also knowing what you're worth. Again, like Joe was saying, the second house is also your sense of self-worth. So if you're in business for yourself, you have to know how your own worth. And so that's like a whole process probably for you with Jupiter transiting your second house for the next year.
So Cassie, don't give it all away. Know that you have value, price yourself appropriately. And yeah, that sounds amazing.
And Okay. Follow your bliss. Yeah, follow your bliss, because that Venus and Leo is going to spend a long time in your fifth house, and fifth house is what you love to do. So,
ooh, love it. Joe, do you want to add anything to this?
Yeah. Another thing that I noticed in the horary chart also is that the moon would be applying still to that sextile to Saturn. And in the chart that we have, Saturn rules the fifth house, which is about all that we've been talking about. But one thing about Saturn in the fifth house that I always like to think is really taking the time to like refine that craft. And even with the Venus retrograde, if I were to make that decision, I would probably like release or launch whatever thing at the end of the Venus retrograde and use that period for refinement and really figuring out like how to really make this thing perfect. And Venus in Leo is really about performance and really shining your artistry. So it would be nice to take those 4 months. It's like an extended stay of Venus in that place to really figure out what that means for you and what is the most refined your work can be. Because Venus will be the closest to us that she can ever be. So you might as well tap into that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fuel for Aries rising for that stuff, for creativity and finances. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Michelle is asking, what is the overarching theme for Cancer rising this season?
Ooh, I can talk about that one. Cancer rising, Cancer sun. I think about that all day. I think a major theme, especially, and it's always hard for me talking about Cancer risings and my Cancer clients, which I have tons of, because I always step into my own life and I try to remove myself. But I know that one of the major things with Cancer is that Jupiter ingress into Taurus. And I think about that, especially because of the pandemic and how all of those years of Saturn opposing Cancer, and I'm one of those people who also uses Leo as a lunar sign, and then opposing Leo, it can really cause that like distance from people and really not being able to find the connections that Cancer really needs some of the times. But now with Jupiter going into Taurus, which is the sign where the moon is exalted, and if you don't know, Cancer is ruled by the moon. Like the moon is really the planet and that represents you. So what that means is that whenever the moon will also go back to your sign, the moon will be exchanging favors with Jupiter in this place of community, friendships, your hopes and your dreams. So I think that the biggest theme for Cancer rising this year really is getting out there and like meeting that chosen family, or like building a community and even being okay with being in that space after so many years of being like distant and detached. I think that Jupiter and Taurus, especially Taurus, which is a very embodied sign, is really about making those really close friendships and really bringing that close community together and having the dinner parties that Cancers love doing.
So great. Okay. Holly is asking, is there a way to tell when you will get married a second time in astrology? Like, can you actually use astrology to see when someone might get married for a second time?
Or you can see that through the birth chart and transit. I would use that first. Look at transits to the fifth and seventh house.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We are going to be doing these live readings, so make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure that you hit the notification bell so you know when we are actually live. If your question didn't get answered and you would love to have it answered, you can book a reading with any of our astrologers on the Astrologer Connect platform, astrologyhub.com/connect. Make sure you use the discount code APRIL20 to get 20% off your booked reading. You also can get 10 minutes free for an instant reading. So
For example, right now, Joe is going to hop on and be available for instant readings. So for any of you that didn't get your question answered, you can go to astrologyhub.com/connect, look for Joe, see if his little green light is on. If his green light is on, then you can actually connect with him instantly and get your first 10 minutes free. That's only for the month of April. We're just doing this as a promotion during the month of April. First 10 minutes free for instant readings, which you can see here. You can get a lot of things answered in a very short amount of time. So if you want to do that, that's available to you. If you want to book a reading, you can book a 30-minute reading, a 60-minute reading, or a 90-minute reading with Elodie, Joe G, or the 13 other astrologers that we have featured on the platform right now. This is our grand opening, and we are so excited to be able to offer this. I've been wanting to do this literally since the beginning of Astrology Hub. It's taken this long, 7 years, to create the platform, to really get it to a place where we could offer this to all of you. Because any of us who have had a reading know that a great astrology reading has the power to literally change your life and put you on a totally new trajectory. So this is available to you now. We're super excited to be able to offer it to you. Thanks to all of you who are here today, who asked your questions, who put yourself out on the line. I know it's a vulnerable thing to do. Thank you for being here. And thank you, as always, for being a part of our community. Hope to see you again at some of the live broadcasts we'll be doing this month. And thank you to Joe G and Elodie. You guys rocked it. That was Thanks. So fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mind every time. Just like, astrology is amazing. I would get over it, but I don't. It's incredible. Thank you for being here and for offering your insights and your wisdom and just for helping the people that were here live today.
Pleasure.
Of course.
All right, everybody. We will see you very soon. Take care, everyone, and have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Part of our community.